Mazel tov to the Meltzers. I just came back minutes ago from the wedding. Muncie. It's the first wedding that I've been at in 3 months. More than 3 months. So it was very special. It was very small, very spread out. You know, masked, all the mitzvahs. But Baruch Hashem, when there was a wedding, Chassan and Kala were happy, the Meltzers were happy. So it was a beautiful simcha. We deserve it to have more and more simchas.
Amen. Good health.
Amen. So tonight we're going to speak about Kriya Shema. To speak about Kriya Shema, we have to speak about a number of things. It's a mitzvah sasei, that's true. But beyond the mitzvah sasei, or part of the mitzvah sasei, is Kabbalah Somach HaShemayim. We can accept upon ourselves, in literal terms, the yoke of heaven. The Rebbeinu Shalom is monarchy. And because we're accepting the Rebbeinu Shalom as the monarch, it's a declaration of our fidelity to our loyalty to the Rebbeinu Shalom, it has special halachas. In some involvement in the Shulchan Aruch we find, the Torah Shulchan Aruch explains the meaning of the various names of HaKadosh Baruch. What do they signify, the various names of HaKadosh Baruch? Now, Yudkei Vovkei, on one hand, that's the proper name of HaKadosh Baruch, as of Henkins, it's all right. So you can't translate. So if you ask me, what's the translation of Shapiro? What's the translation of Sherman, of Schlang, or Welch? No, there's no translation. That's the name. Whatever language you want, the name is still the same. Yudkei Vovkei is the proper name of HaKadosh Baruch, not a kibbutz. It's a subject to translation. However, it does have a meaning. It does signify something, aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, another two aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the pronunciation of the name, which we pronounce Yudkei Vavkei as if it was spelled Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the first word of Shema Esrei. That's the punctuation of the way we actually pronounce it. But what does the Yudkei Vavkei signify? So it signifies the timeless aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Hoyo. He was in the past, he is in the present, and he will be in the future. He transcends all time. It's not limited by time, not defined by time. That's implied, it's the implication of the Yudkei Vavkei. So it means the other, which, what other? The timeless other. That's really what the word means. It comes across at two levels. Elokeinu. We have three shames in the pasuk of Shema Yisrael: Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We have Hashem, Elokeinu, and Hashem again. So we define Hashem. What is the definition of Elokeinu? What does it imply? So the Torah Shulchan Aruch tells us that the meaning of Elokeinu is Takav Bal Yicholus and Bal Kol HaKoyachos Kulam. He has the ultimate abilities in this world and the ultimate power in this world. He's the master of everything that takes place. Everything that can take place, he is the master of. He has no rival and no assistant. He is the ultimate master of all the forces of the universe. Included in that is something else. Included in that is the notion of Mekom Mashkiach Paprot. That Klal Yisrael is Zoicha, that we have Ashgacha Protos. Ashgacha Protos means that all the minutiae, all the tiniest details of our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with them. It's not just a general perspective, but it's a very, very specific perspective of everything that takes place. And that's implied. The Elokeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that has all the power in this world. But if he had all the power and he decided to stay home and not use it, it would be of no avail. You have the most powerful army in the world, but you have no inclination to use it. So you lock them up on the bases. So it doesn't help you that you have the most powerful army. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most powerful. And he is involved. He's the Mashgiach HaPrati. He's involved with whatever takes place in this world. So the Gemara tells us in Erechim, a person reaches into his hand and you want a quarter. And he said, you come out with a nickel. So that's Yisur. And that's Mechap. So Kodesh Baruch Hu was involved with all the tiny details of our life. There's nothing that's unnoticed and nothing that's insignificant. And that's the meaning of Shem Hashem. Now, do I have to, every time do I say Baruch Ato Hashem, do I have to have that in mind? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Gro Paskins, the Siman Gro, that it's not necessary by a regular bracha to have this in mind. By Shema, it's mandatory. By Shema Yisrael, that possible. But by other brachas, it's not mandatory. It's rather interesting. Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, he had a personal chumrah that every time he said the Shem Hashem, he had the full kavanah as if he was saying Kriya Shema. And people from the family told me, if you watched the Dava, you would see every time he came to Shem Hashem, there were slight pause. Because he stopped to focus on what the ultimate meaning of Kevavke is before he said Shem Hashem. This was his general practice, and he recommended this practice. It's not an easy practice, but he recommended it. So we have this dichotomy, that we have the meaning of Hashem, Shem Hashem, of Hashem and Elokeinu, and on the other hand, it's not mandatory. It's not mandatory to recite a bracha and have that in mind. If we did it, it's a very nice thing. We're not obligated to do so. But when it comes to Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim, there we have to have the full understanding to be Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim, to declare ourselves Avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we have to take note of what all the Shemas Hashem that we're saying are. Which Shema Yisrael Hashem Alokeinu Hashem Lech. So then it's in one level. There's a special level of kavanah which is necessary to focus on the meanings of the three Shemas Hashem. Sometimes it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, and once it says Amakei. But before we even come to that, there's a more general notion of kavanah. And that is the following. That we have a dispute in Shas, if Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah, it's discussed in Arba Pesachim, it's discussed in the Sefer Rosh Hashanah. Do I have to have Kavanah to do a Mitzvah before I do a Mitzvah? It's a Machlokes in Shas, it's a Machlokes in Amoraim, if I need Kavanah or not. The Shulchan Aruch, in fact, brings two views. If I have to have Kavanah, then I'm doing a Mitzvah, or I do the Ma'isa Mitzvah. And the implication of the Shulchan Aruch seems to be that the halacha is that one needs to have kavanah. But it's even unclear to some extent. The Magen Avraham says that the Shulchan Aruch did not give a clear-cut psak because he wasn't sure what the halacha was. And what the Shulchan Aruch meant to imply is that if we're dealing with the mitzvah deraisa, it's mandatory. And by a mitzvah derabbanan, it's not mandatory. That's the way the Magen Avraham wanted to interpret the Shulchan Aruch. Most of the world does not agree with the Magen Avraham, and they say that the Shulchan Aruch's determination of Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah is applicable both to Mitzvah Deraisa and to Mitzvah Derabbanan, because that the Shulchan Aruch had a clear psak, not a doubtful psak. So before we start Kriya Shema, you have to stop for a moment and have in mind we're about to be Yotze of Mitzvah Asay. V'niyeved, the Chayodom was, what can we say? The Chayodom was Aroi of Yisrael. So it would come out, if we took that in the strictest sense, and we didn't have Kavanah, that maybe a big percentage of the people that say Kriya Shema wouldn't be out to the mitzvah. Because they don't stop to think, Kennedy Mukhan of Azuma Nakaya Mitzvah Saseh. So the Chayadim said, It depends. If the context of it makes it abundantly clear that it's a mitzvah, then it's already implied kavanah. That's enough. So when you get up to Kriya Shema in the middle of davening, you're not learning a parsha in Chumash that time, and you're not teaching your grandson how to say Shema at night when he goes to bed. You're saying it as part of davening. So obviously you're doing it as the mitzvah. So Mamela says, even if you didn't really focus on it, you would still be Yitzin. There's an implied mitzvah, there's an implied kavanah. So the Chayyadim was a big Oyev Yisrael, because he saved a lot of us from many situations where we don't have specific kavanah, but it's inherent. A person comes to put on his tefillin in the morning. He didn't have a gun to hit any mukher or mezuzah. He's putting on his tefillin for shachar, so what's he putting it on for? And he doesn't put it on a mincha and mar. And he's not making a film about some Jew in the shtetl wearing tefillah. That he has to have props. You know? He came to shul to daven, so he's putting on tefillah. And he asked him why he's putting on tefillah. Why not putting it on the day? We stood yes, and Hashem said to put on tefillah. That's what I'm doing. But still better is if we actually do have kavanah. We do a mitzvah. We're doing it l'shem shamayim. So that's the first kavanah. The first kavanah we have to have if we're about to do a mitzvah sasim. And to have in mind. But we want to be yaitzer, it's mitzvah sase. That's step number one. Then number two, we have to work our way through the pasuk, the meaning of the pasuk. And the meaning of the pasuk is at different levels. Question is, what's the symbol meaning of the pasuk? And then what's the more profound meaning of the pasuk? And there are really two meanings. And in actuality, we should have in mind both of them. Chaim Konyevsky, in fact, wonders in one of his forums why the symbol meaning of the pasuk. We'll come to what the symbol meaning of the pasuk is. He didn't find in the pasuk, but in actuality, it is in the Aruch HaShulchan, at the beginning of Hilchos Kriyas Shema, does in fact cite the symbol meaning is necessary to. What's the symbol meaning? The symbol meaning of the words Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What are we saying in this sentence? So Rashi says the following. Rashi. So Rashi, as we know, is Poshup Shap in the Pasuk. That's Rashi's job. Not Roshis, not Kabbalah. Poshup Shap, what's the Pasuk mean? So Rashi tells us, Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Elokeinu. That means that we, what are we, in what sense is that Elokeinu? That we recognize our Kodesh Baruch. Like we have in the parashas by Yeshev, the brothers tell Yosef, "Hamaloch timloch aleinu, hamashol timshal bano." So, what are those two phrases? "Hamaloch timloch aleinu" and "hamashol timshal aleinu." So, the Gemara explains that melech is when the population accepts him as the melech. That's a melech. A moisho is an emperor. He conquers Medinas, and that's it. Well, you don't like him? It's too bad on you. I'm in charge. So that's a moisho. So the brother said to him, "Hamaloch timloch aleinu, do you think we're ever going to accept you as a melech upon us? Or perhaps you have dreams of lording it over us and you're going to, against our will, try to be the king and lord it over us." So they said two things. Which one do you think you have in mind? So the Golden God says, now the Eibush is a Moshe on the next door. They don't necessarily recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All types of theories, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, what he isn't, including Avodah Zarah. Somehow they believe there's something up there. What exactly it is, they have all types of strange ideas. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. But it's not that the populace as a whole is accepted to Rabbeinu Shalom as the ruler, but they are under the Rabbeinu Shalom. So That's why we have the pasuk Hashem Hamelucha or Moshe Magoyim. Hashem is actually the Melech, but in terms of the non-Jewish world, he's a Moshe, he's Moshe Magoyim. That without their acquiescence is the ruler. And what's going to happen when Mashiach comes is Bolo Mashiach Maratzion Nishpot HaSarayis of Hohis of Hashem Aguvah. Hashem the Melech HaKol HaOretz. Hashem Echad Yishmoy Echad. That's the ultimate Hashem Echad Yishmoy Echad. Means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be recognized as the ruler of the entire world. So that's what Rashi says. Hashem Elokeinu. Presently, who recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not the world. The world is a Moshe, but Hashem Echad. Will come the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be recognized by the entire world. And that's what Rashi says is Poshup Shat in the Pesuk. And the meaning is that what's a Melech? The ultimate Malchus is when everyone recognizes him. Not that he has to assert his power and his authority over them. No, but everyone recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. When Mashiach comes, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world will be such that Oyashem the Melech HaKol HaAretz, the whole world will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. What are we saying, Aleinu, each day? That's the message we have in Aleinu. That now it's Hashem Elokeinu, Rashi says, and ultimately it will be the full Malchus of Yashem Echad. And as I've mentioned other times, that's what we say in Aleinu. Aleinu, in actuality, Yishma Yisrael. It's exactly the same thing. But if you know something about taxes, which in this America, everybody has to know about taxes. It's one of the things, they're one of the certainties of life. Right? You have to pay taxes. So you know, there's the 1040, is the long form and the short form. So in Shema Yisrael, we also have the long form and the short form. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad is the short form. And the long form is Aleinu. Aleinu says exactly the same thing, but in a much more verbose fashion. Aleinu l'shameach l'adoin akol. V'anachim kodem shtachim l'malach ha'amor. Shuhun ha'deshim ha'adoin. We recognize it. That's the first half of Aleinu. What's the second half? Ha'kei nekabu l'chol ha'ashem l'chidu l'iros v'hirom v'zizelcha. V'ha'abu g'lidim ha'oretz. V'alidim parus t'garesim. We'll get rid of all the other this aura. V'chol b'negos ha'yikru b'shmelchim. The happiness of the whole Rishi of it. He did the end of Kol Yosh Nisei. That what? He did for Tichra, for Beras, right? Etc. To Shalom Kolosha. So that's the Hashem Echad. So that's why in Malchias and Rosh Hashanah, where what does Malchias begin with? It begins with Aleinu. And it ends with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. They're both Shema Yisrael. And interestingly, where do we say the tefillahs before? There's a tefillah right before we begin, Malchias. So it's after the first half of Aleinu and before the second half. If you look in the Machsa, right in between is a tefillah of the Shliach Tzibur, and the Machsa says that's a prelude to Malchias. So I was surprised. Why a prelude to Malchias? If it's a prelude to Malchias, I would have put it before Aleinu. So not in the middle. But the answer is no. The Aleinu is telling us what is until then. Our tefillah is that we mizorcha did a full Malchias. That's the tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. That the whole world was simlo chato Hashem levadecha kol haaretz. So therefore, al kein the kavod. That's the real tefillah of Rosh Hashanah. Until then is the recognition we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our tefillah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be recognized by the world. That's Malchus. So that's one level of meaning. It's Alkei Nekav is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. Presently we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. But ultimately the Malchus Hashem will be Wolobohi Ol Melech Al Hashem the Melech Al Kol HaAretz. Vayom Hu Yeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That's the Hashem Echad. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be recognized by everyone in the world. So that's the simple meaning of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Melech. Then is the meaning, according to the understanding, deeper understanding of the words of Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael, means all of Kriya Yisrael should take note. Hashem, What is Hashem? Kodesh Baruch Hu is timeless. But we have this in the davening also in the menorah. The three aspects. There's Hashem Moloch, Hashem Melech, and Hashem Yimloch. Hashem Moloch in the past, right? Hashem Moloch presently, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. Hashem Melech presently, Hashem Moloch who was in the past, and Hashem Yimloch, Lord of God, he will be in the future. So that's the meaning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we say Yudke Vovke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not some latter-day emperor. He just showed up on the scene and he, you know, organized a mighty army and he took over the world. And he was Mevatel everyone that came before. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is the one that's been here since the beginning. Since Bereishis Bara Elokim, Eisa Shamayim, Eisa Aretz. There's been one Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's Hashem Moloch. And Hashem Melech, today is the Melech, everything that takes place. And that's not going to change. It's one of the immutable facts of history. Hashem Nimloch, Lo Elohu. So that is Shema Yisrael Hashem. But Hashem doesn't tell us the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Elokeinu was a statement of the greatness of Hashem, the Guras Hashem. That he has Takif Bala Yecholis, he has all abilities. The one who possesses all the power in the world. Everything that needs to be done in this world is his. So, and as I mentioned before, we mentioned that his name also means implies towards his Mashkiach HaFrot, that he watches over everything that we do very carefully. There's nothing that's random, nothing that he doesn't attend to. So we're saying, in effect, that HaKoshem, he's the one that's always you. He is in charge, he's been in charge, and he always will be in charge. He's not getting turned out of office. And he didn't usurp the office from anyone else. He's always been and always will be. Elokeinu, who is the Hashem? This is the source of all power in the world. Everything flows from only one place, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself. He has no helpers, he has no assistants, he has no adversaries. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam does everything. And then we say, Hashem, that Hashem who's always been Hashem since time immemorial is a chod. That the chod means the follower. The chod, the three letters of a chod stand, Aleph is for a chod, Mum. The Ches stands for the seven heavens and earth. That is the Melech over the seven heavens and earth. And within the earth, he's the Melech of all Dalet Ruchos, meaning of the entirety of the cosmos. Wherever one turns, that's the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what we're saying, Hashem Echad. Also, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire world is in his hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything in this world. There's nothing that's beyond HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we complete the Kriya Shema by saying Baruch Shem, that the name of Hashem should be blessed, as the source of blessing, really, of Kray Malchusa, of His glorious kingdom. In other words, praise be the glorious kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Olam V'Od forever. That the kingdom of Hashem is L'Olam V'Od forever. It's immutable. So these are the basic notions in Kriya Shema. And then we have, so the first parasha is Kabbalas Omar Kishma, the recognition that the world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second parasha, Vayam Shemaya, is a statement that Melech L'Mishpat Yamid Aretz. What does it mean to be king? If you're just a king, and you sit in your palace, and society runs without you, then you are a very, very weak king. A king, the government, is to run society. So, run society means there were laws. So that's why Yom Shemoyah Tishmo Mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave laws, with Muslim in return. That's what we human beings are supposed to do in this world. So, from recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, we go to the second parasha, that if there's a melech, then the melech obviously has tzibulim, he has commandments. And we have to fulfill those commandments. And that's part and parcel really of the third parasha of Kriyat Shema as well. We say that tzitzis is a reminder to do all the mitzvahs. It's chartim, it's called mitzvahs Hashem. Plus the fact that it has chiras tzitzis Mitzrayim, which we've talked about previously, meaning the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our relationship with Him. So all of this is in Kriyat Shema. And if you look a little bit further, if you'll open the Rambam at the beginning of Parak Aleph of Kriyat Shema, you find the Rambam traces other themes. We talk about Avos Hashem, we talk about Yishinam Bavonechu, we talk about Torah. So we talk about all the basic aspects of Yahadus of Shema Yisrael. Rabbi said this is an overview of what Shema Yisrael is. Simple, at the simplest level, what the Kavonas, what the is supposed to be thinking about or recite Kriya Shema 2 times a day. I always say it's 8 o'clock. It's been a pleasure. And I wish all of you a good evening. I'm looking forward to seeing you 7 o'clock tomorrow on the Zoom for the Shailas and Shulas for the questions and answers. For Aziz Hashem. We could have